Welcome to Problem Corner, more than just a radio show. It's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Good morning, good morning. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Problem Corner. Thanks for joining me this morning or listening to the podcast whenever you may be listening. But the best way to get your comments or questions or something to sell or something that you need, something that you have to vent, the best way to do it is send me an email. Go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, send your email right over here. Like I said, something to sell, something to say, or just get something off your chest. That is the way to do it. And if you'd like for me to give you a shout during a future Problem Corner, include that. Say, hey, Wade, call me. Here's my phone number. And I'll give you a call when I'm recording one of the Problem Corners. So, again, thanks for joining me this morning. The first thing I wanted to say was, go Huna Angoon, Yakutat, Cake, Wrangell, and all the other Southeast villages that are here. Knowing that gold medal was taking place. And that was always a special time on Problem Corner because so many of the people that listened in the outlying communities were now here in town. It was almost like you were hanging out with us. So I hope everyone had a phenomenal week watching gold medal and catching up with all of your friends and some of your family, that everybody made it into town. So go your team. And I know that we would have gotten many well wishes for the players of gold medal. And so really glad to have everybody here in town. I hope you had a wonderful gold medal experience again. But that led me to kind of what my first topic is, you know, housing and short-term housing and how does Juneau fare when it comes to accommodating large groups of visitors into the community. And so if you had either a really hard time acquiring lodging during this gold medal spring break week, or if you had a super easy time, if you could let me know through the KINY Problem Corner website link and send me that email and share with me your experience. Was it easier, tougher, harder to get housing to come and visit Juneau? But then that led me to other questions as I'm trying to figure out things that we can solve and talk about here on Problem Corner. How are folks getting to Juneau? Did everybody depend on the ferry? Was it a ferry? I mean, I know that back in the day, everyone would have just rode the ferry here to Juneau. Was it easier to take Alaska seaplanes, or are you still ferry dependent? If you've got 2 cents on that, again, KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link and let me know. How was your gold medal experience coming over to Juneau during 2024 spring break? Things seem to change from year to year. So if last year was a little bit tougher and this year was a little bit easier, that would kind of go along with the different things that we've been encountering. All right. So, the one thing that I want everybody to remember about gold medal is I really hope your team wins. So I'm rooting for you. And I really hope you've had a wonderful time here in Juneau for this 24 gold medal. All right, switching gears. I got an email. Yay. Daniel, looking for a dog sitter for about 5 weeks. Needs to feed, water, let out once in the morning, one at night. Price is negotiable. Payments would have to start on the condition week of service due to the issue with a paycheck up north, which is weekly pay, but held for the first week. So Daniel's got to go do a little bit of up north work. He was hoping that somebody could accommodate him and help him watch his dog while he does that, and he can compensate you as he gets paid for that. If you think that helping dogs sit for 5 weeks is something that you're interested in, 747-999-8013. Daniel at 747-999-8013. And he's looking for a dog sitter for 5 weeks to help him out. Call and negotiate with him. Makes it sound like he's pretty flexible here. And I've got another person who has a dog. And unfortunately, this is a hardworking young man that is always working. But he has a dog that he really, really likes. But he was wondering if there was somebody that could maybe enjoy the company of a dog throughout the days when he's having to work, or maybe like a dog in the evenings that you just go on a little dog walk. This guy can continue to work as hard as he wants, and you can hang out with I think it's a Husky or a St. Bernard. It was one of those bigger dogs. His phone number is 713-7153, and I'm pretty sure you need to text him, 713-7153. That's an Alaskan number. He's looking for somebody who wants to hang out with a dog either during the day or during the evening. If you're interested in doing something along those lines, you want to dog sit, or I think that's one step away from babysitting services. We do know that people are in need of dog sitters. So if that's something that you think you could do, help people out by looking after their dogs while they go to work, go ahead and send me an email, kinyradio.com. Click the Prom Corner link, and that should be able to send you right over here. We can see what we can help find. In that same token, you've heard me talk about it before. All right, I haven't run into opposition for my ideas yet of what to do with Floyd Dryden. Child care, super, super high need for the community. There are not enough child care spaces, and to set up a child care, you have to have so much space and so much outdoor space, and child care just isn't set up to cover all the capital expenses that help create child care. There's money that goes into it, but you're not really investing in an asset. You're making a person's home acceptable so that they could qualify for some of the programs that assist child care. A school, like a middle school, like Floyd Dryden, absolutely set up for child care. It's a city-owned facility, and that child care would benefit the community. So it's a valid enterprise that could go in there. And then with the city providing the facility, you can keep child care in a somewhat of or a relatively lower price, unless you're trying to subsidize. It's just a good way to go. The city can eat some of the cost of child care and make child care affordable to the families of Juneau. And I think that's a really good step in the direction. And the reason why I was mentioning that is we were talking about dogs. I do got to keep, I'm going to keep saying this. You're probably going to hear it all the time. Juneau Animal Rescue would be an excellent tenant for the other side of the building. And there you go. A great repurposing of the building, Floyd Dryden. All right. I do have some pretty cool news coming up. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after this commercial break with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner. The little bit of news that I was talking about, I got a phone call this morning, and the person was confirming with me Congress just authorized and passed $150 million, give or take some change. It might have been $170 million, but allocated the $150-plus million to the icebreaker. They knew it would take a couple of years to get the icebreaker squared away, so that's why they didn't do the whole $500,000 that Senator Sullivan had requested for it. But they've in this funding cycle, Congress has paid or authorized the funds for the icebreaker that is coming to Juneau. So I thought that was phenomenal news for us to have that they bought the boat. So an icebreaker is coming, and the information or the little blurb that somebody was telling me about is that the Coast Guard is not going to say, hey, you have to do these things. They're going to say, here's some money to do these things is the way that we'll probably hear that. So I was pretty excited when I heard that news, and so a nice little boost to Juneau's economy, population base. So, yeah, and we can talk about all the different things that we're doing in preparation for that. But, man, I got to tell you, I'm excited now. It's been a little while, but I've got the news behind the news. My man, Jordan Lewis. Jordan, you're here on a Problem Corner again.
I am.
All right. Up. Is that not, did I not do it enough? I think we got you now.
Okay.
I can't tell you how happy I am to have you back in the studio here with me. How was your trip, man? You were gone for almost 3 weeks?
Yeah, a little close to that. It was very good. I was out hanging out in Japan. Did 2 days in South Korea toward the end of the trip.
Okay.
So don't worry about my safety. I was only 30 minutes away from the DMZ in North Korea. Wasn't close enough for it to be a concern.
Okay. All right. Tell me one highlight. What was something that kind of blew your mind?
So one thing that surprised me was really the fact that despite how many people were in Tokyo, which I thought initially was going to make me pretty uncomfortable, I actually felt pretty good the whole time. I really enjoyed my time there. And being a kid that grew up on the actual old Godzilla movies, you know, with the man in suit Godzilla movies, that was very fun for me because the hotel we stayed at is actually partnered with the movie studio that made all those movies. So it has a giant life-size head on the top of the hotel. It has a whole bunch of theme stuff in
the
hotel.
Oh, my gosh. And I know you're a big old Godzilla fan, so that must have been just awesome.
Oh, it was great. There was a cafe in there that was part of the theme, and they had figurines. And I got a round of applause from all the staff for successfully naming every single figurine in the cafe.
Wow. All right. Okay, Jordan, I feel bad for wondering this, but I do want to ask this question. You're not a short guy. Well, you're 6'7"?
6'8 now.
6'8 now? You keep growing.
And they say I still have a little bit.
You might want to stop there eventually. So how was it being in Japan where the average height might not be as high? Like, did you find yourself in a shower with a shower head that was like at shoulder level instead of?
Surprisingly, no. So
really?
One of the nice things they have very deep bathtubs there.
Okay. I have a deep Japanese soaking tub. I get it.
And so I was like, I'll just do that. Like, I ain't even going
to
worry about it.
That is the best way to do a Japanese soaking tub. I definitely agree with that. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing with us your little adventure there. That's pretty cool, man. But again, I'm glad to have you back in the radio station because you know what news is going on.
Tell me
some of the news behind the news right now.
Well, the first one is it was $125 million for the icebreaker.
Oh, well, $125 million. Thank you for that.
So, because I was just cutting up the press conference that Senator Sullivan did about that yesterday, a little while ago.
So is my information correct?
$125 million has been approved for that icebreaker acquisition, and that is already with prior commitments with the Coast Guard for that to be home ported here locally.
Woohoo! And thank you to the Juneau Navy League, who is being pretty active in this.
And they're still pretty new as well.
Yeah. Not even a year right now.
Not even a year.
All right. So Coast Guard icebreaker, excellent news. What other fun stuff are... Maybe not fun stuff. What other news we got going on?
Some of it's not fun. Some of it's still quite serious. Still looking at, you know, the district did approve a budget last week that will see school closures. It will likely see layoffs because you're talking about a nearly $10 million deficit. And then that significant funding increase got vetoed by the governor. And so...
I was going to talk about that. Has he said out loud his reason for vetoing that? Because I've heard anecdotally.
The primary thing that we've gotten from all the articles that we've done, the articles that some of our other colleagues, other outlets have done, has largely been because it didn't contain certain things that he wanted in education funding, because he doesn't agree with the BSA increase. He thinks he should just give more money directly to the teachers, that because the thing that he specifically wanted wasn't in there, he was going to veto it from the jump, as soon as it even passed, because something that he expressly wanted wasn't in there.
Well, that is the one of the prerogatives of one of the most powerful governors in the United States. Our governor has more authority than other governors for other states. So hearing it said like that sounds awful, right? You want to be mad. The thing that I've heard is that he didn't want to give the school districts that extra money because that money would not go to the teachers. He wanted to put money directly into teachers' hands instead of giving school districts money. And the best analogy, it's almost like a corporation. If you wanted to give the school district money to give so that each teacher got $10,000 extra, you'd have to give the school district $20,000 for each one of those teachers. You want to give 10 because the school district has so many expenses. It all falls in the same pot. They have more money, so they start doing more things. And I actually liked his idea because I thought it would have benefited the people that we want benefited the most. 10 grand straight to the teachers, make the difference to the people that are doing the yeoman's share of the work. And
ultimately, I don't think anyone's going to come out of this happy because there's some people who feel like that would have been fine. And other people feel like the other option would have been the better option. And ultimately, I don't think anyone was going to be happy with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're dealing with people's kids. And the one thing that I've discovered is that people are very sensitive when it comes to the outcomes for their children.
Yes.
No, I gotcha. All right. Do you have one fun piece of news for us?
One fun piece of news. Do you want it to be purely local or do you want just a fun piece of news?
Give us both, please.
All right. Well, in a pure fun piece of news, the Godzilla movie that I went and watched last year, that won the Oscar for Best VFX. So that was that was fun.
Nice.
That was good. And then in terms of some good local news, I know Jazz talked about this a bit on Thursday, but K-9 Buddy has finally retired from the Juneau Police Department.
But he's retired.
He's retired now. He can just be your average dog.
All right. And then
disregard the sheer quantity of drugs that he has found and the amount of money all that was. He's retired.
He's just a regular old dog. And what is the new dog's name? They came up with a new, it was something.
Ooh, you know.
We do have a new drug dog.
We do have a new drug dog. I can't remember its name though.
All right. It's something simple like that. All right. Well, hey, Jordan, really glad to see you back here in the radio station. Thanks for sharing with us your Japan trip and a little bit of news behind the news. I'm happy yet sad that Buddy is retiring because, man, that's great that he got to a point of retirement in honor of serving the community. But sad because he was one heck of a drug sniffing dog, man.
Oh, yeah. He put in a solid 50 dog years of experience on that.
I love it. All right. Jordan Lewis, news behind the news. Jordan, you have a great rest of your afternoon, sir.
That's the game plan.
All right, Jordan Lewis, everybody. All right, let me go to an email here before we go to the break. Oh, my buddy David. David with Landscape Alaska. Hopefully you guys are going up and visiting him during his very busy time of the year. They're over there on Back Loop near Goat Hill, and you can check out all of David's stuff. And I know he does a big sale for the Mother's Day celebration plant sale that takes place over at Safeway. That I think is the Mother's Day weekend, the Saturday before Mother's Day. But right now, David is in need of a hospital bed to rent for a few weeks. This person is having a hip replaced, and Wildflower Court has no room in the inn. If you could call David at 321-4149, 321-4149, and yeah, see if you can help David out with a hospital bed. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and take the mid-break here, and I'll be right back with more Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner. While you're thinking of it, right now, get your phone out, get your computer out, send me an email. Come participate in Problem Corner, KINYradio.com. Click on the Problem Corner link and send me your email. Well, the next time you're thinking of it, and I'll be able to include you in Problem Corner. And if you'd like a call, leave me your phone number and say, hey, Wade, give me a call during Problem Corner, and I'll give you a shout, and you can come participate in Problem Corner. Just before the break, I had my good buddy Jordan Luce in here, and we were talking about the governor's veto of the increase in the BSA, and then the failed override vote failed by one vote, 39-20. I think the math says that one person didn't participate in the vote. And how catastrophic is that? So does it mean that there won't be a BSA, base student allocation increase next year? Maybe. There is still some time in the session. Maybe they come up with something that is more agreeable to the governor and prevents him from vetoing it. Man, just I don't want to give like an answer to the legislature, but if they said, hey, we're going to give funds so that all the teachers and the job aides and counselors and school secretaries or administrators, they get a direct bonus. They just set it up like that. That might satisfy things. That's really what the governor was holding out for. Every school district has always said that the solution to their problems is just give them more money. And you only have to hear that so many times. You're like, well, why don't you let us give the teachers the money directly? That might be a solution. All right. And again, it does not mean that the fight is over. One of the things that's messing up Juneau's situation and probably a few other school districts is that school funding is tied to school square footage. And so as we are reducing, they're literally closing two school buildings, Floyd Dryden and Marie Drake, and the administration building, which doesn't count towards education. So that's actually was a smart way, because while they reduced the responsibility that the school district has by 9,000 square feet, it didn't reduce educational square footage. So I kind of got their reasoning on that. And I made it everyone aware, spoke directly with the governor, directly with the lieutenant governor. Hey, these are the things that are in the way. I think I even spoke with the Senate president, Senator Keel, Representative Story, to see if they could get that square footage allotment removed so that way closing schools would not have a reduction. I think our multiplier goes from like 0.92 to 0.88 or something. So we lose a multiplier when we lose some square footage. And the problem is if they open up all of that school funding formula It's just a mess for everybody. And so you think they're having a hard time trying to figure out Juno's restructuring. Imagine trying to restructure the entire states with all state, with all corners of the state having 2 cents on it. That's why we're not seeing the BSA opened up or anything like that. That's why they can't agree on something. But we can switch to a more positive piece of news coming out of our state capitol. This session, both Senator Keel and now Representative Story have both put in a bill to increase disaster assistance from the state when the governor declares a disaster. Right now, disaster assistance from the state is capped, maximum $21,000. If the governor declares it an emergency. If FEMA declares an emergency, their number is double, $42,000. So not a lot of money, especially if you're talking about whole homes are wiped away. Both Senator Keel and Representative Story have a bill going through the legislature now that would increase that number from $21,000 to $50,000 maximum from the state. If a disaster strikes a home or a condo, they would be correcting that rule too, so that people that own condos, as condos are slightly different structure than a single home ownership, that the state emergency disaster relief fund would then go to $50,000. The one question that I – so the reason I'm talking about this is, one, it's great for Alaska, not just Juneau. While Juneau was the town that had the natural disaster last August 6 when the Yakalop set a new record of – the river set a new record during the Yakalop so that was, I don't want to say it a small natural disaster, but it was a huge natural disaster that impacted a small number of homes, relatively speaking, of course. It did impact homes all the way down the river. But again, on a natural disaster scale, this was a little bit on the smaller side. And the governor did declare it a disaster. The federal government did not, even with Senator Murkowski coming and witnessing the damage herself. And so while that situation was all unfolding, many people were discovering that your homeowner's insurance is not nearly as comprehensive as you might think. Your homeowner's insurance probably covers a tree falling on it, a fire of some sort, maybe a burst water pipe, but maybe not. You should really memorize your or review your homeowner policy, because as homes, as the land was eroded away underneath a home, that's not covered under normal homeowner's insurance. So these are some of the things that we talked about as I was testifying, and the pushback that both the Senate and the representatives were asking. Well, you know, why would all Alaskans pay for a disaster in Juneau? And I got to explain that this isn't about the disaster that happened in Juneau. That's what brought me up to speed on, you know, where the city and the state and the federal governments are in terms of natural disasters. But it's more that natural disasters happen throughout all of Alaska. And when a natural disaster occurs, both the community and the neighboring communities have all stepped up to go help that community in their time of need. Alaskans like helping other Alaskans, and increasing the bill from $21,000 to $50,000, while that is an increased cost to the state, it's a way that you, each individual Alaskan, you know, our tax money is going to benefit Alaskans in need. And I thought, of all the things that Alaskans would be okay with, it's helping other Alaskans in their time of need. So it has passed Senate, Regional Affairs, Senate Finance, and House Health and Social Services Committee. And so I'm sure that before the end of the session, it will make it to the main floor. And we'll keep you up to date on that. So thank you to Senator Keel and Representative Story for those paired bills, SB and HB, and their numbers. Hopefully we will see that passed by the end of this session. All right. And Bruce has a question. He says, at the risk of belaboring the subject, I Googled state capitol buildings of America and found in the first listing, it's hardly a shock to see Alaska in the bottom of this list. It's a capitol building that could hardly be described as awe-inspiring. It hardly inspires anything 100 years from now. Few will note the current much-needed housing buildings put on Telephone Hill, but many thousands of Alaskans and the many millions of visiting tourists would appreciate the beautiful Capitol building that was built here in America's most beautiful capital city. And Bruce, I think you hit the nail on the head. Having a beautiful Capitol building for a beautiful capital city in the most beautiful state would be appropriate. But as I was just mentioning, that Alaskans absolutely would allow for funding to go help other Alaskans. I think Alaskans time and time again would say they will not support funding that benefits Alaskan politicians or the offices that they meet in. That seems to be a universal sentiment. I hope that explains it. But, Bruce, I agree with you. It should be a pretty building. It should be. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and take that last commercial break. I'll be right back with more Prom Corner on KINY. All right. Welcome, Corner. If you're sitting in front of your computer, next time you're thinking about it, send me an email and come and participate with Problem Corner. Go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and that'll get your email right over here, and you'll be able to participate in Problem Corner. I've got one from CBJ. They want to let everybody know that CBJ Parks and Rec will be offering several weekday-long camps through the summer for children ages 5 through 13. Online registration opens Monday, April 1st. Register CBJ Parks, one word. Register CBJ Parks. Click the Youth and Teen tab. The week-long camps are anywhere from $118 to $170. Camps are offered at Zach Gordon Youth Center, Diamond Park. They're doing hiking. For more information, JNU PR Camps, PR Camps. Scholarships are available for all the camps if you're concerned about the $100-plus price tag. You can call 364-3734. That's the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, 364-3734. You can send an email, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L dot Williams at Juno.gov. Michael Williams at Juno.gov. If you need more information about the Zach Gordon Youth Center camps or the other park and rec camps. And that way you can keep your kid busy this summer if they're between 5 and 13. And if you have a kid that's in that range, I think they might have to be 7 years old through... Shoot, one of my daughters went last year as a camp counselor at 19, Echo Ranch. Now, if you haven't heard of Echo Ranch before, it is a 160-acre summer camp that is located out at the very end of the road. You take the walk out of Echo Cove, and you take a left instead of taking a right when you get to Echo Cove. And, man, Echo Ranch is just one of my favorite places in all of Juneau. And they have lots of summer camps designed for kids of all ages. And those are 1 week overnight camps. And so there'll be with like the 7 and 8 year olds and the 9 and 10 year olds and the 11 and 12 year olds will all have separate camps. They have some camps that are horse designated camps for the kids that are a little bit older. So if you are looking for something for your kid to do this summer, definitely check out the CBJ, register CBJ Parks or Echo Ranch, and you will absolutely find something for your kid to do this summer. And my favorite part about Echo Ranch wasn't just, you know, how awesome it is and how much I like to go out there and hang out, and they cook dinner for you and you can have coffee 24/7. They just have a big old coffee pot that's always full of coffee. It's so beautiful. But the kids come back a little bit more mature, a little bit more resourceful, a little bit more independent. Sending my kids away for a week at a time was how we helped them grow up. And I want to thank the Echo Ranch folks for their contribution to that. So if you're looking for something to do for your kids like that. The other thing that came up, Head Start. They're now taking applications for the 24-25 school year. And that is for kids, I think, 3 through 5. You could literally give your kid a head start as they get prepared for school. So it's a great preschool program. And you can sign up now. 463-7127, 463-7127. And that Head Start program is open to every family who needs it, which is a really cool aspect of Head Start. And again, that phone number, 463-7127. All right. I did want to remind everybody, as we are in the last 10 days or so, or of March, we're coming to the end of March, that you have just a few days left to fill out your PFD application. So you, if you have not, go to myalaska.gov and you can get filed. You can get your PFD filed that way. You don't want to miss this one. It sounds like they're going to try and give us as close to statutory PFD as possible. I saw initial numbers over 3,500 a person. And so if you have lived in if you have lived in Alaska since December 31st of 2022, you're going to want to fill out your PFD application, myalaska.gov. Go and get started there. If you have not started there, you could also go down to the PFD office. I think they're open from some 10 to 2s, 10 to noon. That's what I'm trying to spit out. Those guys will be there. Well, I'll tell you what, if you know what the PFD office hours are, or the easiest way to turn in your PFD, if you got to go to the state office building and turn in a paper application, somebody send that email to me. I know we've discussed it here before, but I do not recall what the outcome was for turning in a paper PFD. You could go to either library, the Menhall Valley or the Downtown Library, or even probably the Douglas Library, and they will find out or they'll help you with a PFD application, or to get on the computer and go to myalaska.gov. Those are great ways to do it. And if you have a better way, we will still have time by the next show. Send me the PFD information. How do you turn in a paper application? And again, at kinyradio.com, click on the Prom Corner link and send me over that information. All right, as we get to the end of the show, this gentleman sent me an email. He says the tour season is coming up and the first few boats are coming in 2 weeks. I heard the date was April 9th, but I haven't got confirmation on that. Back to the email. Last year, it definitely felt like the volume came back to pre-pandemic levels. Got any insights about the upcoming season? Thanks a lot, he says. So the little bit of good news that I think folks are waiting to hear is that, yes, tour numbers are back at about the same levels. And so we're not going to have as near the growth that we had over the last 2 years. We're going to have to what were they trying? They were trying to get reamped or reamped up. I'm trying to think of what the great phrase for that. We had this tourism operation, and I've defined this as two separate entities before. We have the cruise industry, the billion-dollar multinational corporations, and then we have these local Juneau businesses that are the tour operators. Since the pandemic allowed business ended and we were allowed to turn those tour operations back on, those groups have struggled to turn back on. This year, they're having significantly better time period doing that. They're able to make they're getting more people hired earlier, and so there will be more operations to absorb more of the tourists that are walking in the downtown corridor. So by having more operations take place, and then hopefully next summer we have the Eagle Crest operations taking place, that will give the tourists more activities to do. And the more activities that the tourists have to do, the less they'll be congesting the downtown streets. And with the city acknowledging that extra bus service to the Mendenhall loop, back loop intersection is necessary, they've even scheduled and allocated for that. And so we'll be able to improve the bus service as well. We're trying to get housing built as fast as we possibly can. There's still a high demand for housing out there. So I haven't heard too much anecdotal information about how people are having a time like renting stuff. But there more people are going to be hired, more operations will be able to absorb more tourists, and hopefully that will translate to a slightly softer impact on Juneau for our tour season. I hope that answers your question, and I certainly hope it is somewhat accurate to the best of my ability. All right. Hey, that is going to do it for Prom Corner this week. Again, next time you're thinking about it, or right now, go to your computer, go to KINYradio.com, click the Prom Corner link, send me that email, and I'll read it next time. Till then, remember, on Problem Corner, there are no such thing as problems, just solutions we've yet to discover. Have a great weekend. I'm Wade. I'm out of here.
You've been listening to Problem Corner, a production of KINY Radio. Listen every Saturday morning at 9 or subscribe everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.